Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Wait, so you really want to make a podcast?
Yeah, what if we just sang our music?
Maybe we should get some real music, Samantha.
The podcast king.
Oh, you're still recording. Three, two.
Survival Jobs is a podcast spotlighting artists, their side hustles, and their passions.
Hosted by Samantha Titzola and Jason A. Coombs.
Boom.
Sweet.
Okay.
Love it.
Good afternoon, yes. Jason.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Good night.
Cheerio.
Top of the morning to you.
Yeah, exactly. Jason, my allergies are absolutely in my body right now, so I feel loopy doopy.
Yeah, just gonna be popping mad Benadryl every night. I'd be falling asleep on you when you be texting me. I'd be taking Benadryl at nighttime. I'm knocking out at like 9:30 and you're waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's why I take Claritin, because the Benadryl makes me effed up really bad.
I take Claritin in the daytime. Can you mix those? Are you allowed to do that? Because that's what I've been doing. I don't know.
Honestly, all bets are off. Like, I don't even care. I'll mix it all. That sounds bad. I won't, but you know what I mean? Like, when you have an itchy throat and your teeth feel like they're falling out of your head, you'll do whatever it takes.
Same old, same old. Another pandemic day. Another pandemic. We're still in this pandemic life, but you know, we're out here. We're doing it. We're creating. We're doing our stuff. You know, we're episode 8 of this podcast, which is very exciting.
Talking
to our good friend today.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to Alana. I haven't seen her in a long time, but
yeah.
Even prior to that, you know, because she was always doing her thing. She was on a tour. She was on a boat. She was doing
On a boat.
I'm on a boat. What are you doing? Anything new? Any podcasts? Any TV shows you've been watching? Any books?
Yeah.
Tell me.
So I feel like everyone has a podcast now. So I wanted to just give some, you know, some good podcast juju out to some friends. My good friend, Alana Johnson, not Alana Cawthon, who's our guest today, a different Alana. She's my stage babe. We worked together so many times in acting class and after acting class, but she just came up with a podcast called Ms. Leading, because she's a leading lady. So like MZ Leading, where it's kind of like, you know, partial like self-help, kind of like inspirational, you know, about being an artist, kind of like what we talk about. But not really, because not about survival jobs, but just like a general, you know, just a general kind of artist talk. It was very cool. So people should listen to that. After they listen to ours, they should click on over to Misleading. Another friend actually had a podcast before us called The Inclusive Screenwriter. And her name is Ashwini Prasad. And she writes about how to make your work more inclusive, right? More diverse, and how to do it in a very effective and transparent way. Which I really enjoy listening to her. And then my other good friend, Tyler Geiss, released a podcast called Tyler Geiss's Basement, which is like also interviewing people not in his basement, but on Zoom.
Yeah.
But, yep.
I know that too well.
Yeah.
Oh, so, wow. That's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. So I'm like, let's spread the podcast love, you know? After listening to a Survival Jobs, check out theirs.
That's so nice. How do you have time to listen to everybody's podcast and run a film festival and do this podcast and go to writing class? You're a superhero, I swear.
No, you're a superhero.
No, I'm not. I just literally put on under eye bag cream while you were talking. I don't know if you saw me. That's what's up with me.
I did.
I'm getting ready. Shout out to my very best fucking friend, Haley Kishel.
Yes.
I'm getting ready for her wedding. Literally this weekend. And
I know you're a busy girl.
I don't know how I'm gonna get through this day without sobbing the whole time. It's so surreal that she's married. Not surreal.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. It's just crazy because I feel like we didn't grow up together, but as adults we grew up together. I was like, as adults we grew up together.
Yeah.
Like from college through adult life. So it's gonna be a big weekend.
You've known her for what? Almost like what? 13 years?
I met her when I was 17, and I'll just tell this quick story, which has nothing to do with the survival job or art, but I'm gonna tell it.
It's fine, yeah.
Well, I was a theater major, so it's kind of related to art. Nobody liked me at WestCon. You weren't there that first. No, I don't know if you know any of this story. You weren't there that first year, but I was so hyped to be a theater major and to go to college that at the club's carnival, I was so excited and just like, I went to the table, the center stage booth, and it was like Pat White, Adam, shout out. And I can't remember who else. And I was like, oh my God, is this the theater club? Like a little weirdo, 17, like all excited. And they said, yeah, are you a theater major? And I said, yes. And I think Adam asked me if I ever did a show before. And I said, yeah, I've been doing theater since I was 8. Then Pat White took that and told everybody in the theater department that I was drunk at Club's Carnival. And then I told them that I was dancing since I was 5, which is not the truth because I was not dancing since I was 5. So I would never say that. So nobody really liked me. And I was sitting and they all thought I was a fucking weirdo, which I was. But I was sitting alone in the cafeteria. And that was fine. I was just like eating lunch in between classes. And Haley was there with our friend Matt Bagley. Shout out to him too. And she made him move tables and come sit with me because I was left alone. I was there all by myself.
Oh my God.
And she knew everyone thought I was a weirdo. And so she came and sat with me. And I think ever since then, we just like were in love. That makes me want to sob. And so
that's really beautiful.
Yeah. Long story short, I'm gearing up for that wedding weekend.
That's incredible. I'm so excited for her. And hit me my feels right there. I never knew that story.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good. That's going to be what part of my
friend.
Speech. Yeah. I still am like struggling to write my maid of honor speech because it's like you want to make sure it's, you know, a captivating, I guess, for the guests, but also like sentimental, but also like funny and entertaining. And I love her so much and I want to make sure that I get that across, but I also don't want it to be a big like cry fest. So I
take
really
the pressure off. Just yeah. Be you.
Yeah.
Just connect with her. Like obviously, yes, those things you want to have those things, but it's not about anybody else but her and her partner. So make it about her and her partner and your friendship with her. And that's really, I mean, I was the same way when I did a speech for my friend, but just focus on that and you'll be fine. And you're so naturally engaging and funny and captivating and interesting and charismatic. Like you're gonna do perfect no matter what you do.
Oh, you cozy.
Have that special thing in you.
That was nice. Thanks, Coomzy.
It's true.
Yeah, I think I'll just write some bullet points down and then see what happens. Try not to drink too much before, but that's going to be hard. Just kidding, kind of.
It's a wedding. You'll be drunk all day.
Thank you.
Like a sober, dry wedding, but who wants that?
Not me. Definitely not me, but exactly. To each their fucking own. So speaking of WestCon and the college years... Let's talk about Alana.
Oh my gosh. Can I just say first, before we get into her bio, that me and Alana were like stage partners. That's funny because I was a stage partners with the other Alana too. Anyway, me and Alana popped in. Right? Isn't that funny? I guess it was put all the Black people put together. So. That's probably why.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually knew Alana before WestCon. I remember I was so excited when she transferred into WestCon, how amazing that was. I've known her since, you know, we were like 2008 or 2007, maybe 2006. It's been such a long time. All the time is just blurred. But yeah, she's an incredible person that we're so fortunate to know and agreed to be on the podcast today with us. So Alana Kaufman is a working actor and hair makeup designer for community and professional theaters in New York and Connecticut. She has a BA in theater performance from Western Connecticut State University.
Woo-woo.
And studied dance and theater at the renowned Howard University. She also teaches voice and audition prep for singers of all ages and works as a private childcare provider.
On the stage, some of her most recent credits include the 20th anniversary tour of Rent, the musical, Hello, main stage performer, featured as the Lion King vocalist on Disney Cruise Line, Effie White in Dreamgirls, and Motormouth Maybelle in Hairspray at the Downtown Cabaret Theater, which, to connect our guests, which I love to do this,
yes.
Robert Peter Paul works at the Downtown Cabaret Theater.
I
love when our
guests.
Yeah, I know. Well, to be fair, we're like bringing in all our friends for these first weeks.
So true.
Of course, they're all going to like connect, but it's still fun in a small world and cool. So she did that at the Downtown Cabaret Theater and BJ Smokey Joe's Cafe at Theater by the Sea. She's so fierce, you guys. Like, if you have not seen a clip of her, go, I'm sure she's on YouTube. Go YouTube her. We'll also throw some clips on the Instagram.
She has one of the best voices, like, not even kidding, of like anyone I know, like in real life or like professionally. That voice that comes out of her is unreal.
Like jaw-droppingly good.
It is. I'll never forget Whorehouse when she sang that her solo,
24 Hours of Loving.
But it starts like a cappella and she like blew the rafters off. Like, I remember just having chills every day. I'm like, how could this person I'm watching like not be on Broadway like right now? She was like so ready for it, you know, like the technique.
100%.
Yeah.
That clip is on YouTube, so we definitely should drop it in the episode.
I need to watch it like every day.
Yeah, you know, and also you guys can catch me in the background in a crop top yellow shirt and white shorts. I'm much thinner and I'm doing high kicks as a whore.
Patty Joe.
But Alana is like the real talent in the house. In the house. In the whorehouse.
In the whorehouse. The best little whorehouse
in Texas. Texas has a whorehouse in it. Yeah.
We invite her into the room.
Yeah. Alana Cawthon, as we live and breathe.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. I'm so happy to speak with you, Alana, today. I've known you for so long.
I know. It's like a mini college reunion.
I mean, I love you guys, but college.
I was looking up information about you. Obviously, I know you, but I wanted to just, you know, do my research as a podcast host. And I got brought to Broadway World, and then I got brought to like WestCon, and you were like, you're listed as one of the notable WestCon students. I was like, okay.
Oh my God, Alana.
That's
incredible.
Well, I'm honored. I guess we made it. I made it to the Bronx. That's where I am.
How do you think you made it to that page? To
be on the I've Made It list of WestCon grads. What I think happened is that my legacy was just so strong. And honestly, it was that picture that was up in the on the West Side like campus.
In the blue dress, right? Was that
In the blue dress. I think that's really what solidified my spot as She's Made It. So that's really, I think that's where it came from. Yeah.
Also, you should have given full approval before they posted you on the website. I think that's also kind of bullshit.
No, I don't think she's on the website. It was like something else. It was like an interview with someone. I don't know. But it was like notable students. And it was like you and some other people. And I was like, yes. Yes, Alana.
Wow. That's big time.
I'll send it to you. So for those who don't know, we've known Alana for a long time. Actually, Alana, I've known you since like 2008. We did Fame. At the Playhouse on the Green. And I used to call you staff. When was that?
Yeah, you did. Oh, that was a solid 2005, 2006.
2006. Wow.
Yeah. Because 2008, we were in college by then.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
I was like a sophomore in high school when I did Fame with you and Shannon and Kyle. Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
Let it be known that for the one and only time in my life, besides when I danced with Ailey, not like professionally, like as a kid, it was the one time in my life where someone actually recognized me as a dancer. And
because you were killing it.
I was like in the dance school. Dancing is the hardest profession in the world. Hard work.
Wow, I didn't know that you guys knew each other pre-WestCon.
All Black people know each other, Samantha. That's
why we were always scene partners, because it was only three of us.
That, and I don't think anybody else could handle our combined girth.
So, Alana, let's get this party started officially. Okay. How have you been over the past crazy 14 months of this pandemic?
I currently am good. I have adjusted. It was a very rough beginning to this year, 14 month period. I actually came fully from a cruise ship as all of this craziness was starting. I was held captive on a cruise ship for about a month. Yeah. So long story short, we were crossing the Panama Canal at the end of February, and it was a 14-day cruise. Within that 14-day span, really, like, the pandemic had started, like, ramping up, and everybody was starting to understand, like, this is not something to play around with. It's like it's a serious thing. So during that 14 days, we didn't stop for the first 6 days, I believe. And once we were about to approach the canal, we were supposed to get off in Mexico. We couldn't. We then got over to the West Coast after we, you know, went through the canal, and we were supposed to, you know, get off in Panama. We were supposed to get off like on the way. We couldn't get off anywhere. Mind you, there were like guest performers that were coming, that came on the ship with us, that was supposed to get off in Mexico like 3 days into our cruise, and then ended up being stuck on the ship with us for the full 14 days.
Oh my goodness.
So we get over finally to San Diego, to California, and we let off all of our passengers. And at that point, they told us that we were going to be quarantined on the boat for at least a week. So at this point, we've been on the boat for 2 weeks with passengers. We couldn't really perform. We were like very limited. We did like a cabaret and some small performances like halfway through the cruise. And then kind of like the second half of the cruise, we couldn't do anything. So all the passengers left. We quarantined for a week. We sailed out to sea only to come back to port to realize that we could not get off the ship at all, because then full fledged like lockdown mode started happening all across the country.
Goodness.
So all in all, I ended up on that ship without touching solid ground for 7 weeks.
Wow.
It was insane, and nobody really knew what was going on. It was really scary, definitely. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, sweet black baby Jesus, he got us off that ship the day before Trump signed into order that people on cruise ships couldn't leave. The day before that all happened, we got on a plane. It took me about 12 full hours to get home because my plane kept getting canceled. And I got home, I went to Connecticut, and I stayed for like 6 months. And then I came back to New York, and I was like, I got to start working because funds are tight. You know, it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. And I think working just through the pandemic in New York City really brought out a different survival skill that I didn't know I even had inside of me. Like,
for sure.
Just the way that I had to take care of myself this whole time was uncharted territory. Such a weird, weird thing to do. But I'm here. I'm blessed. I'm vaccinated. I'm going to not have a hot girl summer, because that's not what we're going to do here. But I will take some liberties and some freedoms and like see my family and travel a bit. But I'm just happy that we are where we are. And I'm looking to the future and hoping for better, safer days.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I hope it wasn't too traumatic to relive that.
Wow. Well, glad you're back ashore.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you were doing a performance gig on that boat. I know you've done a ton of performing. You're such an incredible singer and actress. So what was your best survival job that you had on your path and your way to be able to perform professionally?
My best survival job is, and I think honestly forever will be, nannying. I am a full-fledged nanny of the children of New York. I kind of do it all. I cartwheel into their lives and I ruffle their feathers. And
that's so cute, cartwheeling into their lives.
That is so cute.
Thank you. I get their parents together. I teach them about social justice and how to like raise a child in this state that we're in currently in this country. And
do they ask you that?
Oh, no. No one asks for it, but they get Alana Coffin. They get all of it, because I will not be carting around anyone's children who don't know how to treat other people. So that is
That's so important, too.
It's afforded me a lot of opportunities for like flexibility and using my creativity in other ways. I love to teach. I love to just kind of like be around children, because it gives me such like joy, really. They're just really joyful humans and individuals, especially when they, you know, are surrounded by good people and people that love them and they love. And I try and insert a little bit of myself into every job I take. So definitely I'd say nannying was the best survival job.
I love that. You'd be such a great nanny. Aww.
Do you sing to the kids?
How do I sing to the kids? I sing I literally sing every sentence. It's not like everything that happens. I'm just like, and we're going to the store, and then we're going to come back here, and then you're going to do your homework, take a bath, maybe we'll watch TV. That's literally how I talk to them.
Yes, so. No, but like that 16 bars or whatever you just gave, like send it to a casting director.
Okay, so you had, you told us what your best arrival job is, but what was your worst, if you can remember? You haven't blocked out of your memory, and why was it so bad?
Nannying, the best and the worst. And I'll tell you, when it's bad, it's bad. There is truly no in between when it comes to nannying. Like, if you cannot get along with, first and foremost, the parents and like your style of, not even just discipline, but your style of communication, your level of involvement in the kids' lives, your ability to like really tell the parents and or the group or whoever you're, you know, nannying for what your needs are and sticking to your guns and really like being your own advocate. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I am my own agent. I don't have an agent. I have gotten every theater job that I've ever gotten by myself and negotiated my own pay and everything. And being a nanny is exponentially harder than anything I've ever had to deal with in the theaters. Kids are tricky. Grownups are tricky. Just kind of figuring out how you're going to navigate, how you're going to present yourself to these little people to inspire them and to get, you know, the parents on the same page as you is very hard. I've come home many a night, 2016, 17, especially. I probably cried every single night after I nannied, mostly because people don't value you. People don't value who you are, what you're here to do. They don't, you know, they don't think about what kind of, you know, what they're setting up their children to see in the people who they essentially employ. You know, making sure that I never get stepped on was a big learning curve for me, because I am a people pleaser. I always aim to please and, you know, make people happy. But all in all, you can't make anybody else happy if you're being stepped on every day. I'm so happy that I have this beautiful family that I work for right now. My girls are like my life. Shout out Clara and Gemma. They're my world. I love them so much. I couldn't be happier.
Okay, Clara. Yeah. Okay, Gemma. Yeah. Y'all better listen.
They are gems. They are literal gems, and their parents are awesome. And they just like, they get me, we get each other. It's such a good relationship.
Alana, can you tell us a little bit about, just to jump subjects, but I am, what your audition process was like for the Rent 20th anniversary national tour?
Well, shout out our friend, Tara Jean Llewellyn, because she's literally
Tara.
The reason why I booked that show. And I will tell you why. She called me while I was at work nannying a terrible family. That's the family that made me cry for every day. And I was like underground, and she was like, Alana, you have to audition for Rent. And I was like, Tara, I just like, I, why? I, it's fine. Like, it's not a big deal. I was like, and I probably can't even sign up. She signed up for me. She like went on the little queue, signed me up. I got the deal, being like, great, I can go now. So I went to the audition. What did I sing? I must have sang something Aretha Franklin related, definitely, because I had just done a show that featured Aretha. So I can't remember exactly which Aretha song I sang, but I definitely sang an Aretha song. And no lie, I was in line. So there was about 600 trillion people there, as I assume you could imagine. So I'm standing there and I'm just like, great. I don't care. I'm going in there. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to sing how I sing. I'm going to be how I be. And I went in there. I sang how I sang. I did how I did. I was how I was. I go back in the holding room, and legitimately, out of like the 40 people that were in my line, they absolutely only called like 3 people back. So then the next level of that was I had to come back and sing Seasons of Love. And I prepared the Joanne stuff as well. So we were all in a room with Tim, who is the music director for Rent, and he has been since the beginning of time. He worked with Jonathan Larson. So the team of Rent has stayed intact from its beginning, and people's roles have shifted. So like our director, Evan Ensign, was the first stage manager. So he is now director.
Wow.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was, I mean, on tour, we met Papa Larson, like Jonathan Larson's dad. He came out a few times and like talk to us, and the family is the motherfucking family. They don't leave each other. They don't quit. Like we met a few of the original Broadway cast, like the guy who played Benny, and I met the original season soloist. It was just unreal. Okay, so I'll get back to that. But anyway, so I go in, and it's like a semicircle full of other girls who are like auditioning for Joanne and season soloist, and I was like, okay, at this point, I don't even know how to describe like my essence during an audition process, but it's not high stakes. I don't ever usually go in to something with like the utmost like gut-wrenching feeling inside, because it doesn't help one bit. So I find that the things that I don't put much like energy into in that way ends up just being organically for me or not for me. So when I was in the room, they kind of like went around to everybody and was like, okay, so you guys are going to sing this part of the season solo, go. And we had to do it in front of everybody. They got to me and it was the end. So I had already talked it out with Ari, my best friend. And I was like, I'm not doing that high C at the end. I can't do it. I'm not going to make them think that I can do it and sustain it for the entire tour. Like, that's not something I'm willing to do. I was like very adamant about not doing the high C. I went in, I did my rendition of what I wanted it to be. Immediately, Tim pulled me over to the piano and he was like, let's vocalize you. So he started vocalizing me and he was like seeing if I could even hit the C. And I know I can, and I knew what he was doing. So I was like, how do I play this? Do I like immediately hit the C and like, and then be like, well, why were you lazy? Or do I, you know, I let him draw it out. So I let him draw it out.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
I know what I'm fucking doing. Y'all ain't playing me up in here. I got this. I got this. So I threw it out a little bit. And I ended up like, he ended up vocalizing me up to the high C, and then he asked me to do the song again, sing it, and then in my modulation, like in the riff that I was doing, end on the high C. And I never really got it. I never, because I practiced something and I was like, this is what I'm comfortable with. And, you know, I'll try, but I can't guarantee that. And I pretty much said that. And he was like, okay, no big deal. So he did that. I didn't hear anything. And like 2 weeks later, I got called back in a smaller group, and it was only like me and another person or two other people. And we kind of did the same thing over again. This time I did more Joanne stuff. At the end of the day, it came out like the people who were on tour from the first year, they were waiting to see who was going to resign their contracts. And my person that I replaced, she was just figuring out what her situation is. She ended up taking the Beautiful tour, and she's was stupid, stupid good. So after I had like that last audition, I didn't hear anything. And I was getting this, just talking about this, I don't know. I don't think of my career in this way. So then when I like relive it, I'm like, oh shit. Oh, okay. Like, things were really like moving for me. So in like May, this all happened at like the end of March, early April. So May rolls around and summer stock's about to happen. And a theater that I worked with in the past had called me up and wanted me to be in their summer season. And I said, I would do it if they gave me my card, because I've worked with them before. And I figured that I had enough leverage to be like, I really love you guys. I want to work with you guys, but I really need to be in the union. Yeah. Long story short, they said, yes. They were like, okay, we'll give you your card. And I was like, oh, that's all I had to do. I need an agent.
Advocate for yourself.
That's
yes.
It.
That happened, and it was like kind of two shows back to back that I was going to be doing like leading up to Rent. So I just emailed casting and I was like, listen, I have an offer on the table. I'm about to be union. I know Rent's non-union. What's going on? And they were like, you're on hold, but we don't have a spot for you right now. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to sign these contracts. I signed the contracts for the other shows. I was in the process of getting my equity card, and literally I was walking out of Kidville pretty much on one of my last days of work there, because I had it. Horrifying. So we were on like a lunch break, or I was leaving or something, and I stepped outside and I got a call. So he was like, hey, Lana, so you got the job? I was like, wait.
Yes.
The job that you told me that I couldn't get because there was no spot for me? What? And he was like, yeah, it's yours, and here's what we need from you. So after I broke out, I immediately was like, but now I'm equity. What the fuck am I going to do? Like, I just literally took an equity gig, and Rent is now telling me that I am Rent. Here I am, Rent. So I broke out. I called equity. They did what they do for a lot of actors in my position, and they allowed me to postpone my enrollment until after the tour. But they told me I can only stay on tour for 1 year. So I got to do both my gigs in the summer. I smothered fucking Rent. And then I broke up with my fucking boyfriend of 8 years and I went the fuck on tour. And said, I'm out of here. I'm leveling up, bitches. So that's what happened.
Wow, I have chills from that story.
And you're part of the Rent family. You're like part of such a historic, like Rent is like the first musical that I know my generation, I'm a little bit older than both of y'all, like got introduced to. Like I remember being in RCA and my musical theater teacher, like we were laying on the floor. She's like, I'm going to play you a musical. And like growing up, like all the musicals were like Cats and like everybody singing like, ooh. So like to hear like something that was like light my candle, I was like, what the fuck is this? But I like it. And I was like, okay. So like you're part of that history. That's so
it's
amazing.
Huge. It's huge.
I hope I've said this to you in the past. I'm pretty sure I have, but you have like one of the best voices I've ever heard in my life. I'm not even Same. Exaggerating. You are one of the best voices I've ever heard. And I'm pretty sure I've told you that before. But like hearing that story just gives me so much goosebumps because like I've always known like you were going to be fine. Like you were destined for this. Like your voice is, I guess what they say in church. I'm not a church person, unfortunately. But your voice is anointed, right? Like this is your destiny. Like you have that gift to share. And like there's so many people who can sing, but you can sing. Like you feel it in your soul.
Yeah, I second that 100%. How old were you when you realized like that you had this big, giant, beautiful, perfect voice and that you wanted to do this?
How old was I when I well, I think the year was probably 1996. A fresh 7-year-old Alana decided that she was going to enter the first grade talent show. I, with the coaching of my wonderful mother, who can't sing to save her life, but her ear is like, I don't understand this woman, how she can like hear a flat note from 6 miles away. Like she just understands the business. She understands like what performance quality a person needs in order to like succeed. And she saw that immediately. She never doubted like my ability. She was always like my biggest supporter, the first person to be like, it doesn't matter what you look like, get in there and show them what you got, like, cause you got it. And no one will take that away from you. I signed up for my first grade talent show. My mom was like, perfect, I'm on it. And so she decided yes. that I was going to sing I Will Follow Him from Sister Act. Baby, when I tell you we rehearsed for 3 weeks straight, every single night after dinner. She was like, no, your diction needs to be better. No, what? That note was flat. No, sing it again. I was like, okay. But when I tell you I went up there and I won that $50 prize, first prize. So that's when I pretty much knew, I think, when I won the first grade talent show.
You were like, I cannot not do this.
Yeah. I've always danced. Damn. Honestly, I thought I was going to be a dancer, as I mentioned earlier. I truly thought that I was going to be a dancer. I used to dance with Alvin Ailey Dance Camp, and Alvin Ailey had like a little sect of their dance program that they brought to Bridgeport. And then I ended up working for them when I was older. But I was convinced I was a dancer.
That's why you always had that staff shirt on, right? That's why you always had that staff shirt on.
Staff shirt. Hey. Yeah.
That's why we called you staff. So you're always like, hey, staff.
I was telling kids what to do when I was 16 years old. Yeah, so I've always loved dance. I've always loved singing. I never thought I would be where I am necessarily. Like my college experience kind of threw me for several loops, and ending at WestCon, I think, actually was a good thing for me. You know, the one time being the only Black girl actually worked out in my favor. So it was good.
Alana, who's your biggest inspiration?
Who's my biggest inspiration?
Yeah.
I think my biggest inspiration is not a performer necessarily. I have so many performers that I look up to, like Aretha Franklin is probably my biggest vocal gravitas inspiration. Yeah. Like what I feel anytime I listen or sing any of her music, it's like otherworldly. Like I was meant to sing those songs, or like she wrote those songs knowing that I would eventually sing them. Like that's how it
yes goes.
She did.
So I guess she must have.
She told me.
So if I have to say like a celebrity, I guess it would be Aretha Franklin. But my biggest inspiration, and I guess I'm not going to cry because I don't cry. I'm just kidding. is my mom. My mom is my biggest inspiration. Like, she just fucking keeps the fuck going. And she keeps one foot in front of the other. And she has done so much sacrificing for me to get me to where I am right now, her and my dad. So I definitely have to say my mom. My mom is my biggest inspiration. I love you, mommy.
Has the recent Black Lives Matter resurrection of last summer impacted the art you want to make?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely. It's been really rough for me, actually, for just working through all of the emotions that come up behind where we are as a country and like what we're doing to support the people who get stepped on every single fucking day of our lives.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. And of their lives. I'm not sure how much you guys know about what's happening with equity and with the union that, you know, I'm in. There's been a serious call for transparency and forward thinking, and seats at the table need to be made. Overwhelmingly, I just feel like the theater needs to step up and grow some balls, grow a pair, and really take this work to the next level. Like, it's not going to change based on our voices alone. How to dismantle a system that has, like, not only pigeonholed people, but harassed people and like gotten to a point where we feel undervalued, unsafe in some situations. Thankfully, I've never been in a situation where I've been harassed or felt like I needed to be scared for any reason, but I've seen it happen. Sure. The value that they place on the actors in this community, in our community, is despicable. It's despicable, and it needs real change put behind it. And I think we're going in that direction. But at this moment, I'm not really seeking out any live theater gigs, as it were, in New York City. I've decided to put my focus toward building the rest of my creative life. I started doing hair.
Yeah, which looks amazing.
So, I mean, it has impacted the way that I not only like think about where I want to be in this industry in the next few years, but also what I can give as an artist that isn't just me standing on stage belting a number, or, you know, me even being on tour and having the ability to reach so many people across this country. That was very inspiring. And like seeing just like what everyone is up against in different cities and states and everything was very eye-opening and made me understand that this is so much more than I really came into this business thinking it was. So I've just gotten a much more renewed sense of purpose. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that this moment isn't just a moment, that we're going to really affect real lasting change in the meantime, you know, until things really kind of get back to where it's sustainable to be in a theater. I'm kind of like following my own creative path. I want to write a book. I want to write a children's series. I'm like in the works. I'll just shout it out real quick because why not? It's called Yolana.
Oh my God.
Started like Yo Lana, like that.
Yes.
And it's like, if you can imagine it in the style of like Penny Crowd, like that kind of animation. I started like kind of fleshing out the characters while I was on tour. And now it has evolved to a book series for like very, very like tiny, tiny babies, like almost like a Goodnight Moon style series, where it's called Yolana, Did You Know? And I state different facts about like your beauty and how you are perceived as a human, but like all of that is beautiful and good. And like your brown skin is just as beautiful as this person's white skin and this person's like beautiful big hair and this person's straight silky hair. Like, it's just helping kids spot and celebrate the differences, and instead of spot and separate themselves based on their differences, which is a big thing for me in my life being a nanny. I come at that stuff every day with these kids, just kind of explaining and trying to dissect what's in their brains and like see where all of that is coming from. And it all starts when we're kids, right? So I think nipping it in the bud and like getting the message out as soon as humanly possible is like the way to go. So to wrap it all up and bring it all back to the initial question, I'm exploring my other creative avenues while theater gets its fucking shit together. Because I'm ready to perform again. I'm ready to sing. I'm ready to do it all. I'm ready to inspire and move forward with my career. I'm just not sure where that's going to take me at this moment. And I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that.
I just almost cried when you were explaining that book. That is so beautiful. And I'm so proud of you.
No, I was like about to cry.
My eyes were crying.
If I wasn't an Aquarius, I'd be in a ball of tears right now.
I had wet eyes.
Old wet eyes.
That is something really, I'm really proud of you. And wow, that's so inspiring. Oh. Yes, you're doing it. Yo, Lana, you doing it.
Yeah.
Yo, Lana.
What's your dream role or dream collaboration?
Well, I guess my dream role has always and forever will be Effie White in Dreamgirl. And I've played it twice, not like professionally. It was done well. I was in for it for the Broadway show a few years ago when they like teased us about it coming to Broadway. And I mean, don't know where they are now. If you're listening, I'm still here. I'm still looking like this, and I still sound the same, I think. So call me.
Yes.
But yeah, that would definitely be a dream of mine to play Effie on Broadway for sure. Other like my actual dream role is to star in a musical that was created specifically for me and my likeness and you know everything about me. So I don't know if that means I have to wait until I'm like 60, 70 years old and I've had my career and somebody wants to like do a biography of my life and like put it on the stage and I like come in and do all the numbers and it's like a one act, one woman show situation. But like I'm into it. Dream collaboration. I honestly dream of collaborating with every single person that I've ever been on stage with. So that's really hard for me to like narrow it down. But I'm going to say this. My Rent family is probably some of the most talented people that I've ever met in my life. And I've met celebrities. But these people are just so genuinely talented and are hungry to make a difference in this business. And one in particular, his name is Josh. Josh Walker. I'm going to name names because he will be fucking famous one day. This man is brilliant. He is a self-taught musician. His voice literally makes you cry at the drop of a dime. Like I had to stand next to him and sing the I'll Cover You reprise with him. And he killed it as Collins. I've never heard anybody emote and still sing all the right notes in that way. And then I had to come in and like do some yay, yay, yays underneath them. And I was blubbering like freaking cool.
Some yay, yay, yays.
Yeah. That's what I had to do. No, that's for more help. I want to collaborate with Josh Walker on specifically Yolana and for the rest of my life. That's my dream collaboration.
Alana, I was expecting you to say me and we would do some stage combat again. Like
what?
Like when we did stage combat I beat your ass.
Wait, did you do that at Western Connecticut State University?
Western Connecticut State University decided to put again Jason Coombs and I together as partners because why? We didn't want to break anybody else. We just had to make sure that we were all safe. We were doing like lifts and stuff and like naps and daps and flaps and stuff.
I did not take this class. Who taught this class?
What's his name?
Sterling Swan?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Why do you know that name?
I'm
dead.
Are you kidding?
No. It just came to me, I swear.
Sterling Swan, if you're watching.
He's an attendant. Sterling Swan, he was like a tall, skinny man, right?
Yeah, and he gave me my certificate, and I said, well, now I'm telling everybody I know how to stage combat.
Wow, Sterling Silver.
Wait, Swan!
Got it! Sterling Swan! Wow, Sterling Silver.
Okay, Lana, if you had to work your least favorite survival job for the rest of your life, but 3 years would be your ultimate dream artistic career, but then after those 3 years, you return back to your least favorite survival job until retirement. Would you do that?
No.
Same. Same. I'm with you.
No. Mostly because I cannot do anything for the rest of my life. There is not a bone in my body that can sit still for that long and do one thing. I am a true Gemini when I'm just like, great, on to the next. What's next? What are we doing now? Like, I can't. Repetition is like the death of my creativity. And it's already like, I've only been back working nannying. And like I said, I love my kids and they're amazing, but I've only been back nannying since October. And I'm already like, I'm like going crazy inside my head. I'm like, I have to figure out something else. Should I just get like another job so I can feel something new in my life? And by another job, I mean like add to my 6 job work schedule as it is right now, like not leaving them, but I just crave newness. I don't think I could ever commit to doing that just for 3 years of bliss.
Where do you see yourself artistically in 5 years? So in 2026, I can do math, right? 2026.
2 years before we go to the Oscars.
Honestly.
Yes.
In 2026, I see myself having already had my Broadway debut. Honestly, I see that for myself next year, but you know.
Yes.
Yes. Claim it.
I also see myself being established in every single way I could possibly be established, independently in my career, as far as like fulfilling the things that I want to do for myself, not working for anyone else. That's one of my biggest goals. I don't want to work for a good goddamn person anymore, ever again. I want to create my own art. I want to produce my own art. I want to stand behind my own art. I want to collaborate with other people who want the same. So I see myself in the midst of building my empire by 2026. These are like the little pebbles that I'm laying right now and like getting my little, you know, this and that's here. I see my book being finished. Definitely. I see my series in the works. I see, you know, I see an album for me. Okay. Pause real quick. Shout out to my dad, because he has always asked me before I do pretty much anything else to record a Christmas gospel album for him. And that will be 100% completed and on every shelf in Sam Goody. How old are we?
I am dead that you just said Sam Goody. Whoa.
Bring it back, baby. Wow. Sam Goody.
That was good.
I was in a diner and I saw a karaoke machine and the karaoke page was open to like the 2003 hit songs. And it was like, bump, bump, bump. My Love Don't Cost a Thing. What else is on there?
All those hits.
And I'm loving, thank you. The Leah one. Like, just too many. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so old. I love everything.
That's all I listen to is old music.
Yeah, me too. Hence Tupac.
Yes. Best Pac. Mm-hmm. She's wearing a Tupac t-shirt. I'm wearing a Living Single t-shirt. Samantha didn't know a Living Single.
You didn't know. We are living. I'm not my girl. Keep your head up. What? Keep your head up.
Keep your head up. That's right. You can't bring Black people nowhere.
Not a damn place.
I am upset that I couldn't chime in. I don't know the song.
Okay, you want to sing Sister Sister? We'll sing the Sister Sister theme song. You know that one, right?
Of course. 5, 6, 7, 8. So you have to start. Never knew how much I missed you. And now that everybody knows, I ain't ever gonna let
you go. Sister.
Ooh.
Sister.
Yes. Speaking of all this singing, mm-hmm. We have a really fun game. Jason, can you tell us about the fun game?
Yeah. So, Alana, you ever watch those song association videos with like celebrities? I think it's like Elle magazine or some kind of magazine. They like, you know, they give out a word and then you have 10 seconds to think of a song that has that word in it. That's what we're going to play tonight.
Oh, not great at that. Okay. Let me put my brain.
Yeah, you're going to kill it.
You got the timer, Jason?
Yeah, we're going to give you a word and then we're going to give you 10 seconds. Yeah, I'm getting my timer ready.
Oh God.
And I mean, there's no stakes. There's literally no stakes. Like,
what are you talking about?
Nothing to win or lose.
It's just fun.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's just fun. All right. The first one is Dream.
We are dream girl, boy. We'll make you happy. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Girl, boy.
Yes. That wasn't even 10 seconds. That was like two.
I know, right?
Good work.
Ding, ding, ding.
The next word is star.
Shine bright, shine far where you live, where you are, dear star. I don't know why that came
up. That one's so good.
That was two. Got two for two.
Okay. Less than 10 seconds.
All right. Third one is dance.
Just dance, gonna be okay. Just dance,
yes, Alana. The next one, are you ready? Rainbow.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
Yes. Next one is love.
Love. So many things I gotta tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how.
Yes.
Really good.
We just wanted to hear you sing, so we gave you all easy words.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how we picked the game. We were like, we need to get her singing. Next word is telephone.
Oh, God, what's the name of it? So I don't want to have somebody that's going to reach my telephone. And I'm on the
telephone.
You're not going to reach my telephone. My telephone.
My telephone. Perfect.
Yeah, it comes in. Okay.
All right, last one.
Final one. Candy.
I taste just like candy. So dance with me. I taste just like candy. What year is it? So dance with me.
Yes.
By the way, I don't know that song.
It's 50 Cent. That's, it's really disgusting, and it's
love
great.
It. I thought you were gonna. I thought you were gonna go with "I'll meet you at the candy shop." Dimension lollipop.
Oh, I fun fact. Me and my drill team at Notre Dame Catholic High School had a song or had a dance to that song, and we danced it at the halftime game. And it was inappropriate, and they nasty. Did not take it off the field.
Jason said nasty.
Nasty. I know. It's fine.
Alana, you aced the game.
Whoop, whoop.
Wow.
Alana, thank you for coming on.
Wow.
Guys, thank you so much for having me. I just miss your faces, like, in person. I just want to kiss them both. Mwah, mwah. I love
you. We're kissing you back. Mwah, 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 mwah. Can you tell all of our listeners where they can follow you on the social media platforms?
You can find me on Instagram at Once Upon Alana, like a fairy tale, because I'm a fairy tale. I also, you know, I guess I'm on LinkedIn. Is that a thing anymore? Facebook? I don't know. I have a MySpace. You can find me on there. I don't have a website because I'm old school. So shoot me. But yeah, you know, DM me on Instagram. And if you're sexy, definitely DM me on Instagram.
Slide in the DMs.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Coomsie, I love like that. Mm-hmm. Small and chunky. Is that what you just said?
Tall and chunky. I like a chunky guy. Okay. I mean, like, if you're slim too, you're good. But just, like, understand that there's a lot of ass that comes with me. So that's
all. Same.
You're so perfect. Same. You're so perfect. Oh, this was such a joy catching up with you, and I hope we get to do it sooner than later.
I felt like we were just like hanging out, which we were.
Yeah. Right? And Sam, where can our listeners follow us if they're not following us yet?
Oh, thank you. Please follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod, and on Facebook at Survival Jobs A Podcast. Like, subscribe, follow, leave a 5-star review. Even if you want to leave a 3-star, please still leave a 5. And tell your friends. This is episode 8, which is like, I know 8 is like not a lot, but it feels like so much. And I'm so happy. So many.
8 is one of my lucky numbers. So I'm happy that Alana was on. Alana, have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys. You do the same. Love you both. Mwah, mwah.
Love you, girlfriend. Thank
you. Love
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.